And now at this time, I'd like to invite you to open up your Bible with me to John chapter 11. As we look to God's Word together on this Easter Sunday, I'll be reading John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the reminder this morning of the resurrection. Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection. And we pray this morning as we meditate upon these verses that you would help us understand more deeply precisely what that means. Lord, open our ears and our eyes and our hearts. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think it's safe to say that this is the strangest Easter Sunday that most of us probably have ever experienced, and maybe the strangest Easter Sunday that we will ever experience in our lifetimes. I could never have predicted that there would have been an Easter Sunday when people could not come to church and would have to watch the service via live stream in their homes because of a worldwide pandemic. That is not something I ever expected. And I think we need to just be honest that on this Easter Sunday, the thing, the reality that is on everyone's minds right now is the reality of illness. As of yesterday, over 500,000 people in the United States alone have tested positive for what is known as the coronavirus or COVID-19. And over 20,000 people in the United States have lost their lives from that virus. And I was reflecting on that over this past week as we approached Easter. And it occurred to me that a severe illness like this one has a way of confronting us with our own mortality. Death is always a reality. It's always there. But let's face it, when things are going fairly well, it's easy to push death out of your mind and pretend like it isn't there. When you're young, you can kind of push death out of your mind and pretend like it's not there. When you're healthy, you can push death out of your mind and pretend like it's not there. But it's always there, and it's always a reality in this world, whether we pretend like it's there or it's not. And this illness that we are facing in our world has confronted us with the reality of death. We are much more mortal than we would like to think. We have much less control than we would like to think. And this has reminded us of this. It's confronted us with this. And the question is, where do we turn in the midst of all this? Well, the story we read in John chapter 19 actually has some parallels to our current situation, because in this story, just like in our current situation, the reality that is on everyone's minds at the beginning of John chapter 11 is illness. In fact, verse 1 says, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him," that is Jesus, "saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.'" See, Mary and Martha's brother was deathly ill, and they were terrified. Much like a lot of people in our world today are facing their fears. Mary and Martha were confronted with the reality that nobody really enjoys facing, which is the reality of death. And how does Jesus respond to their concern? He says in verse 4, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now that's a strange statement. Jesus is known for making statements that make you kind of just wonder, what on earth is this guy talking about? It sounds as if he's saying that God has a greater purpose in the midst of this illness that Lazarus has. It sounds as if he's saying that he actually knows what's going to happen and that there's something bigger going on here, even though Mary and Martha and the others don't know what that is yet. And this morning I want to look at what Jesus does in response to the situation with Lazarus. And I want to look at four things that Jesus does in this passage in response to the illness of Lazarus. And each of these four things is significant. And each of these four things gives us hope when we face the reality of death. So what are these four things that we see Jesus do? Number one, Jesus delays. This is a strange one. Jesus delays. Verse 5 says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.'" Now, this is one of those situations where it seems like what Jesus is doing is completely backwards. Because it's already said that he loved Lazarus, he loved Mary and Martha, he cared about them deeply. And so when it says he heard that Lazarus was ill, the next thing you would expect the verse to say is, so he went quickly to go visit Lazarus. After all, isn't that what you do when you hear one of your loved ones is deathly ill? You go immediately to visit them. And Jesus doesn't do that. He does the exact opposite. It says, when he heard Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Why would Jesus do this? This is a question I think most of us wrestle with when we are sick or when we are suffering in our lives. Maybe we have something going on in our lives and we ask the Lord Jesus and we say, Lord Jesus, come quickly and take away this sickness or this suffering away from me. And sometimes he doesn't immediately answer that prayer and say, we say to the Lord, well, why, Lord, are you delaying? In the story of Lazarus, we see that Jesus had a reason for his delay. Verse 11 says, after saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. They thought he was taking a nap. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Now, again, add this to the list of strange things that Jesus is saying. He says, I'm glad that I was not there when Lazarus died. And again, we would ask ourselves, well, why would Jesus be glad that he wasn't there? Well, he says that the reason he was glad is so that his disciples may believe. See, his disciples don't know it yet, but by allowing Lazarus to die, Jesus is going to perform an even greater miracle than if he had healed Lazarus from his sickness before death. And by doing that, he's going to reveal his power and his glory to the disciples in a way that they would never have seen if he had performed a different miracle, so that they would believe in him and see the power of Jesus. So what we see here is that when Jesus delays going to Lazarus, he has a purpose in it. And when Jesus delays in our lives, he has a purpose in that as well. Now, we don't always know what that purpose is. In fact, we often don't know what that purpose is. But what Martha failed to realize in that moment, and what Mary failed to realize, and what we often fail to realize, is that the Lord delaying in our lives in the midst of suffering does not discredit his goodness. It does not nullify his goodness, because the Lord's plan is not always the same as our plan. And God's goodness sometimes is most abundantly revealed in his delaying. So, we come then to the second thing that Jesus does. The first thing that Jesus does is he delays. The second thing that Jesus does is he speaks. Verse 17 says, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Now, I think Martha's words here are extremely significant, and we should all be able to relate to this. It's what Martha says is the same thing that Mary says later. It is the thing that many of us have said at one time or another. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Let me translate that for you. Jesus, this is your fault. If you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. If only you had come sooner, we wouldn't be in the midst of this mess. And of course, all of us can relate to that feeling, can't we, in the midst of our suffering. We say, Jesus, if you'd only been there for me, X, Y, or Z wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have gotten sick, or my loved one wouldn't have died, or something else terrible in my life wouldn't have happened. Jesus, if you had only been here. And yet again, what Mary and Martha would fail to realize is, as I said earlier, that suffering that they were experiencing does not discredit the goodness of God, because Christ had a purpose in what was happening. And he was going to reveal his goodness in the midst of this suffering. When we get to verse 23, Jesus speaks these unforgettable words. starts in verse 23 with this. He says, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, Son of God, who is coming into the world." Now, those words from Christ in verses 25 and 26 are some of the most powerful words that Jesus would speak when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he actually makes two statements. And at first, the two statements sound a little bit contradictory. Because in the first statement, he says, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And then the second statement says, "Whoever believes in me will never die." So which is it, Jesus? Will we die and live again, or will we never die? At first, they sound like they're kind of contradicting one another. But the answer to solving the problem is to see that in the first statement, he's talking about physical death. In the second statement, he's talking about spiritual death. So in the first case, he's saying whoever believes in him, even though that person will one day die physically, they will live again. In the second statement, he's saying whoever believes in him will never die, that is, spiritually speaking, because they have eternal life in him. And here's what I want you to notice that's extremely significant about this statement that Jesus makes. Many of us are familiar with these words, but I want you to notice that Jesus does not say, "I will show you the pathway to resurrection and life." He does not say, "I will bring about resurrection and life." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." So you see that resurrection and eternal life are inextricably linked to the person of Jesus. There is no resurrection apart from Jesus Christ. There is no eternal life apart from Jesus Christ. That's why he says, "Those who believe in him will have eternal life." Those and only those who believe in Jesus Christ and who turn to him in faith will have eternal life. This is the truth that Jesus speaks in the midst of this situation. So first, Jesus delays. Then he speaks what is a very, very powerful truth. And the third thing that we see that Jesus does in this passage is he weeps. I want to read you verses 28 and following again so that you can hear what happens. In verse 28, it says, "When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, 'The teacher is here and is calling for you.' And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him." Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" You know, John 11:35 is the shortest verse in the entire Bible. But it's also one of the most profound verses in the entire Bible, because we already know and we've already been told that Lazarus was a close friend of Jesus. It says that Jesus loved Lazarus, just as he loved Mary and Martha. And what we see in this verse is that when Jesus went to visit the tomb of Lazarus, he wept with grief. You know, too often, when Jesus is portrayed in movies or in television, he's portrayed as sort of this stoic individual who's emotionless. And yet, what do we see in this passage? Jesus was both truly God and truly man, who experienced the full range of human emotion. And he knows what it's like to lose someone that he loved. In fact, when he lost someone that he loved, he didn't sit there stoically as if it had no effect on him, but he wept with grief. And this should be one of those moments, and I think it was one of those moments, where he was reminding Mary and Martha that he cared for them deeply, and he cared for Lazarus deeply. Because what did I say earlier? When something tragic happens in our lives, the temptation is to doubt the goodness of God and say to ourselves, does the Lord really care for me? Does he really care for me? Because if he cared for me, would this have happened? And it's in this moment that as Jesus weeps for Lazarus, he's reminding Mary and Martha that he cares deeply for them, just as he cared deeply for Lazarus. As Jesus suffers here with grief, his suffering is a reminder that he cares for us in the midst of our suffering. And of course, the ultimate example of that is the cross. When Jesus dies on the cross, he shows that he's not removed from our suffering. God doesn't look at a world that is in the midst of suffering and just say, well, deal with it. He sends his son to suffer on our behalf and to die for our sins so that we could be saved. And so if we need proof that God cares for us in the midst of our suffering, we can look to Christ who suffered for us most clearly on the cross. But even in this moment, we see the suffering of Jesus, which is a reminder of how much he cares and he loves these individuals, just as he loves us. So Jesus not only delays and speaks into this situation, but he also weeps. And that brings me to the last thing that Jesus does, and that is that he resurrects. Listen again to the final part of this episode in verse 38. It says, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Now this scene, if you really stop to think about what's happening, is absolutely stunning. Because in this scene, what you have is a dead body in a tomb. And this is not a dead body that has been dead for a few minutes. It is not a dead body that has been dead for a few days or for a few hours, but it's been dead multiple days. 4 days, it says. So it's a situation where it looks as if this is beyond hope. In fact, we are told here in very vivid terms that his sister says, Lord, why are you even going over there? The body's going to be starting to stink because it's been laying there for 4 days. So on one hand, you have this body in the tomb. And then you have, picture this, Jesus standing outside that tomb. And I want you to see that Jesus does not go to the dead body and lay hands on it and hope that he rises from the dead. He doesn't even really pray for Lazarus. Instead, he just calls out and he commands that dead body to rise again. Now, who on earth talks to a dead body and commands a dead body and that dead body responds and obeys his command? This is a stunning example of the power of the words of Jesus Christ himself, that he can simply speak and the dead, not just the living, but the dead have to obey him. In commenting on this story, theologian D.A. Carson once humorously said, he said, if Jesus hadn't prefaced his command with a name, every tomb in Jerusalem would have spit out its dead. This is a moment that is absolutely stunning, where you see the Word of God has power. Just as God created the heavens and the earth by his Word, Jesus commands the dead and they come back to life by his words. It's a reminder that Jesus is more powerful than death. Jesus can bring the dead back to life. And of course, That's the good news of Easter, isn't it? We remember that Jesus rose from the dead, and that just as he rose from the dead, he promises resurrection life to all those who trust in him. But I want you to see something about this story that we often miss. Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead that day, but Lazarus would die again. Lazarus was brought back, but eventually, we don't know Lazarus's full story, but he would maybe become an old man or live whatever the rest of the life is that God had appointed for him, and he would die again. And so in one sense, what Jesus did here was just postponing the final hour of death for Lazarus. And the question that we have to wrestle with, I think, this morning is, what hope is there when the final hour of death comes for any one of us? For Lazarus, for you, and for me, what is the hope that we have when that final hour comes? Well, the answer, of course, is to go backwards, back to what Jesus said in 25 and 26. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. In these words, Jesus is saying, just as there was a final hour of death later for Lazarus, there will be a final hour for each one of us. But whoever believes in him, though he die, yet shall he live. There is resurrection promise. There is resurrection life in Jesus Christ. Even though the reality of death is difficult, the hope of the resurrection is assured for all of those who trust in Jesus Christ. This is why we celebrate Easter, because Jesus died and rose again, and it's not just one man that can die and rise again, but all those who trust in that man and put their faith in that man will one day rise again and have eternal life through him. So on this Easter morning, I want to end where I began. We are currently in a time where, let's face it, the same thing that was on Mary and Martha's mind that they could not get out of their minds at the beginning of John chapter 11 is the same thing that's on all of our minds in these past several weeks. It's illness. And it's illness that, in some cases, can be life-threatening. But what is going to happen, I want to ask you, in the coming weeks when this whole crisis subsides? Are we going to put that reality out of our minds and just pretend like it's not there? Go back to life as normal? Even though right now this is on our minds and many people are worried about it and they're grappling with it, and then when life gets back to normal, are we just going to put that reality out of our minds? Because let me tell you, we can put the reality out of our minds, but that doesn't change that the reality is still there. This situation we find ourselves is a reminder of what is inevitable for every single one of us. Our time on this earth is limited. We never know what hour will be our last. And yet, what John chapter 11 and what the reality of Easter reminds us is that when we face the reality of death, we do not need to face it without hope, because Jesus brings the hope of the resurrection for all of those who trust in him. And I pray that if you are watching this morning and you have never understood this reality, you've never responded to what Jesus says in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. If you have not turned to Christ and believed in him and embraced him, then what better day than today? Because when you know Jesus Christ, you don't need to live in fear of pandemics. You don't need to live in fear of disasters. You don't need to live in fear of death. Because Jesus says, the one who believes in him, though he dies, yet shall he live. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of Easter. Oh Lord, we know that there are many of us today in this world who do live in fear of death, and yet the words that were spoken in these Scriptures that we read this morning are a reminder, Lord, that we need not live in fear of death if we know you, for you are the one who conquered death, and you are the one who promises resurrection life to those who trust in you with faith and repentance. And so, Lord, in the midst of all of our worries and all of our fears and all of our concerns, help us to turn back to you. Help us to know that there is salvation in no one else. Help us to know that there is life in no one else. And we thank you, O Lord, for your gracious provision of not only the atonement, but also the resurrection. Lord, may this be our hope until the day that you call us home. And in whatever time that you have allotted for us, in whatever time that you have given us, may we spend that time living with the peaceful knowledge that you work all things according to your good purposes, and that for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is nothing that can separate us from you and from your love. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.